Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Talkspace. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it at Studio Night Pants. I'm Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Make sure you are subscribed to the YouTube page. Let's go and subscribe there. Watch video there every Tuesday. And if you or someone you know you think have a great story you'd like to hear or be told or whatever, heard, listened to, please email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com and submit for The Honeydew with y'all, where I highlight the lowlights with y'all. Social media, all that stuff you can find on thehoneydewpodcast.com. I want to say thank you, Night Pants Nation. We are strong and growing. Got a little shorter with the night shorts. So hit up that merch store. Got coffee mugs there now. Look at these coffee mugs. The charcoal hoodies in there, all of it. It's all there. Go there. thehoneydewpodcast.com. Also, Santa Monica Music Center, offering online classes from Los Angeles musicians. Go to santamonicamusic.com, use code Honeydew, they'll waive the registration fee and give you a free first lesson when you sign up for a package. Now that that is all out of the way, as I always say, we're over here highlighting the lowlights, and these are the stories behind the storytellers, and it's wonderful to have this storyteller back. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Adam Ray, y'all. Welcome back to the do, Adam Ray.
Bing.
That's your we'll add in a sound effect.
That's your That's ours.
Okay, good. I love it. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Impressive man. Upgrade.
Thank you.
The studio,
brother.
The space. If you're fortunate enough to get to tour the Honeydew Studios. I don't know if you're doing any sort of those like giveaways. You know how like
Ben and Jerry's tour.
Yeah. Or after like the Wheel of Fortune, they're like, if you want a tour of the Fortune Studios or to see what Pat Sajak's jacket smells like post show, you know, P.O. box. So you at some point, I feel like you're building towards, you know, the fans wanting to, you know, win a trip, or if they're out here, or I'm sure that happens anyway, right? Where they're like, yo, can I see where the magic happens? Can I get a mug?
I mean, everyone knows where we are. I don't keep it quiet because, you know,
you
Santa Monica Music Center is, you know, it's pretty public.
Yeah.
but also after everything that happened during the riots that hit and everything, then everybody knows the story now.
Yeah.
So,
well,
here we are.
Impressive. This
and
is
thank you very much.
Thanks for the mug.
I'm glad you're here. You hit me up. Before,
yeah.
Hold on. Before we get there, please promote whatever you want.
So, you know, where things, you can find me at, cut, take two. I'm on Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, adamraycomedy.com for tour dates, which, you know, there's a few there, but they'll, you know, stay tuned for changes at adamraycomedy.com. There's a cartoon I'm a voice on right now on Hulu called Crossing Swords. It's like a filthy medieval time show from the Robot Chicken guys. So it's all the stop motion with little peg people.
That's
and
great.
Tony
yeah.
Hale's on it and Seth Green, and really, really killer cast, real fun. And then a couple albums out, Read the Room and Songs for the People on Spotify and iTunes. About Last Night, the podcast, which you've crushed many a times. And
it's a great time.
We'll crush. We're not. It's now Sans Dwarf, so just a Jew. But probably should change it to Just a Jew.
Right?
I'm now realizing the missed opportunity.
See if that's out there.
Also, at some point, lean into your audience. And when I see like Seinfeld or what's his name? Avi Lieberman, right? Like, does he shows in Israel, and it's always just Jew City. And I'm like, God, do I just, but I don't, I've got maybe two jokes about being that are even, you know, soaked in anything religious. And so to really, but I've done a lot of like I was about to say synagogues, but I've done a lot of like Jewish centered shows or at, you know, community centers or fraternities that were all Jewish. And you'll make a couple jokes that are catered towards it. But I always see, I guess what I'm saying is like, look at Fluffy, his audience, or a fucking, you know, Kathy Griffin's got, you know, the gays really, you know, she's got, that's a, makes up a big part of her audience. It does.
This, I just want to say, this is officially the worst plugging I've ever heard someone do for their self. I've heard 20 other comedians. You haven't said shit about
And we're only 2:30 in.
You're like, look, man, I'm those new voice. I got a website. But
if I can recommend
you,
The Air Up There with Kevin Griffin. Bacon, it's a great movie. I saw it just recently. It holds up. Billy Ocean's Greatest Hits, Billy my Ocean. Favorite album from the 80s. Saw Billy Ocean live. Put
Did
a
you?
Pin in that story.
That's a good one.
With my pops. He got me into Billy Ocean. But, okay, so the cartoons, the podcast, the Twittered Adam Ray comedy. Kathy Griffin, I'm coming after the gays. Don't stop me.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, man, it's Friday. You know?
It is.
20 man. Years ago, I'd be watching Patrick Duffy and Bob Saget try to corral a family of five, you know?
I do know.
TGIF, did you ever fuck with that?
I was a big Thursday night guy always, which was like Fall Guy, Knight Rider. Then it was like Cheers,
right?
Night Court, shit like that. I remember the Thursdays. I don't really remember. I wasn't a big, what was that? Full House.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm a little older than you, bro.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm 47. I got you, bro.
Wow, I always feel like you're younger than me. Just, take care of yourself.
You know, I still run a 4.64. You know what I'm saying?
So. That's why.
Let everybody know that.
Dude, I worked out with some NFL quarterbacks for this podcast with Mark Sanchez called Fourth and Forever that Showtime Sports was doing. And we got to go down and work out with, you know, like Josh Allen and Sam Darnold, and Mark jumped in the mix. And it was a true test of like, oh, man, I feel like I'm in decent shape. But then, you know, you get out on the field, I'm stretching as much as I think is necessary, and then just trying to run routes. And that was fine because I can do that and know how to turn enough and get to a spot quick enough to where they – but at one point they go, Josh, they go, fucking as hard as you possibly can. And I saw a little bit of like – and I go, what are you guys talking about? You guys talking about how you can't believe that the athleticism that I'm displaying right now? And they're like, two, which was my lane, so I just take off. And I run, and then I just turn and stop. And, dude, you can tell when someone's just, like, trying to end your life right in the sternum.
End your life.
There's a look in the eyes of, like, I'm going to fucking toss a ball to this kid who wants to live out some dreams versus, like, there's no way this isn't going to cause some internal bleeding. And so I get to the sideline and caught it, and I was mic'd up and everything, too. And it knocked me to the ground. And I go, was that game speed? And he's like, oh, I tried to throw that as hard as I could. I go, as hard as you could? He goes, pretty hard. I go, that's what I'm saying. As hard as you could, because I need to know for retelling the story if I caught it and that was just like,
did I take your best shot?
Yeah, yeah.
Or did I take your left?
No, yeah. But he's like, no, I put some serious gas on it and it fucking, and he also, like, I'm wearing a GoPro and then a mic. Dude, he hit me literally right here. I mean, crazy.
I've heard stories at top of speed. Old receivers of Elway, they said through their shoulder pads and everything, they would get the cross of the ball right there.
God.
Like, and so for you to have that.
Yeah.
Like, I had something interesting happen to me recently I want to actually talk about. So this is pretty cool because it's a sports related
thing. Great.
So I've been touting all JUCO since back in the day. I was all JUCO. I played soccer. I made, you know, the all JUCO, whatever. And
wait, now what is JUCO?
JUCO is junior college.
Great.
For people that, you know, as I say, the 13th and 14th grade.
I thought it was like all Jewish community center sports.
That's
because
who I am, bro. You don't know about me? I'm on all your flyers.
Because we had WESCO for all those sports. Oh, so JUCO, I'm like, okay, is
JUCO
that like,
is an acronym for
junior college. Great,
yeah. So, and I, you know, I always fuck around, and but I'm the truth is, I always say, be the best wherever you are.
Yeah,
and that's I didn't have the financial means to go to a 4-year institution. My grades weren't; they were okay. I got a 3.0, but it wasn't good
that's fine.
Enough to go to, you know, pay. I had no parents. I had no support. I had no nothing. Oh, community God. College was my only option.
It's great that it was even an option, right?
Yep. And I lived with my grandmother at the time, and she lived like a mile from it. So I went, and I would go. I would get up. I would go to school, and then we would do soccer right after, and then I would go to deliver the New York Times all
get a
around.
Paper out.
Yeah.
Wow.
But a driving one all the way down to Annapolis. I worked till 4 a.m, and I was doing this every night. Still playing soccer. Still making the All-Star, all JUCO shit.
How many years did you do the paper route?
Just one.
Okay.
I couldn't keep up.
I filled in for a buddy 4 times and was like, contemplating ending my life.
Yeah,
I mean, no
listen,
appreciation. It was like doing an open mic. You're throwing the paper. You're like, here you go. And they're like, oh, no one's up. It's 5 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So
you're still doing that and crushing all the sports.
So I recently have Orlando Brown Jr. on the podcast from the Ravens.
Amazing.
And this guy hits me up and he says, you know, I graduated a couple years after him, and I happen to be a coach at your alma mater, junior college.
Holy
shit. I'm like, no way. And he's like, we got a spot for you. So he sends me a shirt, and I hit him up, and I just thank him, man. And he sent the nicest letter to me.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't expecting. He's like, look, you know, you always – are proud of junior. I go, look, I know I joke about it, but I am proud of like my beginnings. I'm proud of where I come from.
Should be.
I'm proud of how it started. I'm proud of everything I've done to get to sit right in this chair across from you. Right.
All
now.
Contributes to it.
So, he sends me the nicest letter and he says, we've got a spot for you if you can pass the conditioning test. So I was like, huh? So I call him and I'm like, first of all, I want to thank you for what a great letter. And I go, what's your fucking conditioning test? So he starts to tell me one of them, and I'm like,
break
yeah,
it down
I don't
for
know
me.
About that. Then he sent me another one. I was like, look, I was thinking about bringing a crew with me to shoot a little fun video, but I saw this conditioning test. I was like, yeah.
What did it
I'll
open
be
with?
From you for the fucking
yeah,
stands.
Yeah.
Well, it's gassers, but all in a certain amount of time. You're doing 100 and 200 yards or whatever. And then there was another one that I mean, it was just like, I think he said you had to run 2 miles and 12. And even my best, I could creep out one at 6.
Yeah.
One. I ain't hitting that again around 4 laps. Not happening. Not at 47. Dude, not with these knees.
Yeah. My
but
quads
I
are getting
go
tight
practice
just listening.
With them.
Oh,
I told
yeah.
him I'm lacing my copas up. I could still kick a ball around.
For
I can't,
sure.
you know. But anyway,
that's amazing.
It was awesome. And he told me, he's like, you know, there's a couple kids on the team. There's one in particular that's got a trouble with the law and typical Baltimore upbringing. And he's like, and I told him about you, and I told him you came here, and I told him you played here. And he's like, I want you to know it made a difference. He really couldn't believe you started here and
whoa.
Where you are. And it made a difference. I was like, whoa. So they sent me a jersey and a post. I'm going to, or a nice letter. I'm going to make a post about it, but
that's amazing. Dude.
Yeah. Fucking hell. Yeah. Come all the way back around.
It feels good to, you know, reflect every now and then and go, oh, cool. Because, you know, everyone suffers from this, from just straight up looking this way, not even checking the rearview mirror for a heartbeat. And to, like, when people like that recognize it and then bring it up to you, which
and
also
this guy's
is big.
25.
Yeah.
So here's the other thing. Like, and Christian Kershaw is his name. And I hope I didn't fuck that up. Not related to Clayton. I did ask. he said he's 25.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
That's
like
right in
this
the
guy's
slot
not
of...
even he wasn't even born when I start or right when I finished. You
wow.
know what I mean? And my one of my coaches, his dad is friends with and knows. So it's awesome to have
that's
these
cool,
younger
man.
Guys even know who the fuck you are and then throw some love your way. So appreciate y'all, Catonsville Community College. I think you're called, I don't know what you're called now, CCBC or some shit, but y'all was CCC all JUCO when I went there.
Man.
All right. So you called
You yeah.
texted me
yeah.
and you said, I really have something I'd like to talk about.
Yeah.
And well, can we talk about it?
Of course. What if I just was like,
you know what?
Actually, I thought about it a little bit more on the drive over and nah.
Let's keep talking soccer.
Yeah. So my coach that really influenced my life was Greg Ticone. No. Yeah. So, you know, I think you've done a great job of really making the focus, you know, with the lowlights. And so, which is great because, you know, we talked about on the pod and right after the last time I was here.
Sorry, if you haven't watched Adam's first episode, that's the whole I heard in your throat clear.
Dude, it's my one-man show if I ever want to do one.
I really want to work on it.
At a chunk of time because we basically just opened by reflecting on my mom and dad talking for the first time in maybe 10 years on FaceTime when my dad's in the hospital, potentially on his deathbed, him apologizing to her, just very having all these mortal thoughts and morbid thoughts and thinking about Mortal Kombat and I don't know, dude. I was looking for a third, and he's playing Mortal Kombat, yeah. Asking her for the cheat codes. She's like, cheating. You know everything about that, you know. Anyway, so too soon. All right, no, that added up actually pretty well. But so that was real emotional. And then we went through my mom's dating history, which was fucking I hadn't done, and to do it with one of the best to listen and tag and observe, dude. It was.
I appreciate you letting me be a part of it. It was so much fun.
It made me, I was surprised at how much I could remember, and you just bring that out of people. But so in sticking with the theme of just, you know, mom and dad and folks, and you made, that experience comfortable to talk about all that stuff.
Thank
and I remember
you,
getting, you know, emotional about some of it, but you're just good at making people want to talk about stuff that they normally wouldn't. So this falls right into that. So I was in Oregon. Once this pandemic hit, my stepmom, who passed, was dealing with stage 4 cancer. Probably she was about this when she passed. It had been about 2 years since the diagnosis, and you know she was okay and starting to not feel well, and a lot of a lot of treatments and a lot of just pains and clots here and there and urinary just a lot of other complications. My dad's, you know, still working it at 75, you know, an internist at a VA clinic in Oregon and trying to stay focused, but just his, you know, wife is just, you know, fading away, and a lot of mixed feelings because, you know, and as I said in a Facebook post trying to like sum up my feelings, it's like it's the woman that is dying is his wife. And who I've gotten to know for, I guess, since now 91 is when I think he left mom for her.
Okay, so can I stop you there for a sec? So
you're like, 91, can we talk about how good the Bulls were? No, you just completely
changed. Here I graduated high school. Let me tell you about my graduation.
Yeah.
I'm in the S's, okay? And now they start with the A's. So this is the woman your dad left your mom for.
Correct.
And
started a new family with.
Right.
And my mom, my dad even told me, thought they were going to get back together. And my dad, I think even when my dad had, my stepmom had a kid, and then my pops and stepmom had two kids together who were my brothers, half brothers. I just call them brothers.
But you're close to them, right?
Oh, very, very close.
Was there ever any resentment, I don't remember, with your stepmom at first because she's the other woman or no?
For me, yeah, more so my sister. I just went into it I was just a very glass half full. Also, I could see, and I don't think I was a bad kid innately, but I became a better kid as a default from seeing this the trouble my sister was getting into and the pain it was causing my mom as a single mom. So I tried to be on my shit even more and help her clean the house when my mom was on before she got home from work and just do things to try to do my part to make things a little easier. And so I kind of adapted that when my dad started his new family to be like, oh, just act like literally walk in and be pumped to see this woman and to be like, because I'm thinking of my dad. I'm like, I don't want to make it weird for him. Eight, I'm
that's
thinking that.
That's very
I
mature, you know, at eight.
It was a lot of,
for
lot
any
of,
age.
Well, a lot of pills. But they,
headache.
No. And a lot of Flintstones vitamins, baby. All that calcium gets you thinking straight. So it was weird though. Cause yeah, you're over at his new place with this woman and her kid. And then they had my brother Logan, and my mom didn't know about it. And then we were told to like not let her know about it. And then she found out. And that's when I think is when she filed for divorce. Cause then it was like, you know, you don't hear about your husband having a kid with another person being like,
well, right, I'm gonna get bug bit.
I'm gonna wait. If there's one more kid, then I'm out. You know,
that's
then
it.
It's official.
Two more. If it's twins, yeah. You're on thin ice, yeah. Motherfucker.
Yeah. So that was checkmate. And then, and so then she So that was just me, sister, and mom. And then now you're just dealing with this back and forth of going over to my dad's new place with, you know.
Was your sister having the same problems?
She was
over
2 years older than me and way more locked into fuck this.
She's also
fuck this
a girl,
woman.
So she's, totally. She knows better.
And my pops left on her birthday, which my dad just told me too. He was like, I think it was
on her birthday.
Yeah.
Damn.
And so that was. She's a little more sensitive to all that, obviously. And I was like, and I even asked him, I was like, do you remember, like, was it during cake or like, he's like, I don't fucking, do you think I want to go back there?
He was like listen, like, I'll tell you when it was. It was right after 2U. And I was out of there.
I didn't say ooh, you. I even held the ooh as I walked out the back. I fucking moonwalked ooh. So they thought I was just trying to harmonize in the car. I heard some people singing in the back. I want to make sure they could.
Bounced on her birthday, man.
Yeah, hardcore. You know, and they've since made up and you know, dealt with that. But so again,
wonder what she wished for next year.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. It's yeah, man.
Dad, I wish you were never here. Well, guess what? Yeah. Shit's about to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah, man. So now you just she's very just not cool with the change. And so I think it affected
and
her
never
more.
Was or did she come around?
No, not only
she planted that flag and held it on,
dude. On both of them,
respect for people like
me
that.
Too, man. Like, what? Who am I to say? Like, and even you know, she ended up going to a girls' school when she I was just eighth grade through high school. My mom and I, because my sister stole my mom's van and her boyfriend, and got
a van.
Yeah, my mom's van and her boyfriend took all my clothes, all my money, all my mom's shit, and drove to Arizona to like work at a fucking gym or something. I don't remember what the plan was, but they're gonna open a Cold Stone. I don't remember what the plan was. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Yeah, it was. That was the most surprising part. I get back, my piggy bank's open, all my fucking Albertson's checks were gone, and I'm like, what are they gonna, you know, did I? I'm like, fuck, did I sign them over already? And then all my clothes are gone. I'm like, fuck. It's like I had some key items in there, like some Michael Jordan T-shirts, some Sean Kemp hoodies, some fucking the original Patrick Ewing shoes that nobody had, and so they got stopped on the way to Arizona. My mom's like, I have no control. I sent her off to this girl's school. My grandparents are like, yeah, she's going to end up dead. You have no control. Thought she was helping. And, you know, a lot of resentment from my sister towards my mom this whole time from that, which again, I get. But then at some point you go, mom's been crushing it for you ever since, creating so many opportunities, helping with you as you had twins by yourself and then just struggled. Has been nothing but there for you. So at some point, the resentment's got to fucking come to a halt and you got to be grateful and you got to stop being ungrateful. And my, you know, my brother-in-law, when they got married, has helped with that because he comes from very little and seeing my mom and me and the help you get and go, hey, fucking, it could be worse. I know it can be. I've dealt with it. I would have wished I had family that was as supportive as. So dealing with that resentment and resentment toward my towards my dad, and she's kind of leveled out on it finally. And with my stepmom, probably in this past year when she got sick, really kind of just, you know, things get way more real when someone's on their fucking deathbed.
I mean, it doesn't get any more real than that. So did they become friendly or did she reach out?
Just nicer. Yeah, reached out and just was nicer and more concerned and really more concerned and worried about my dad's emotional state. And so that actually kind of helped repair their relationship. And she... Because again, just couldn't, and he finally kind of apologized to her, which I think allowed her to just drop it finally and live your life. And holding on to hate is such an overlooked piece of emotional wear and tear.
I think it can cause cancer. I think that just manifests that blackness in you. Just you know, can grow into something that kills you.
Yeah, yeah,
ego, all of it.
Dude, my, you know, Jess LaCasse stole Aaron Domingo from me in the eighth grade. And, you know, am I over it? We'll see at the end of this podcast. But, you know, if I pick up the phone and call. But I think if she picks up, you know. But there's been things that I've held on to that I'm like, man, this is just not doing me any good. But you are so just, you've kind of given up on trying to reason. And you kind of like feeling that. You know, enraged, which I think everyone at some point, you know, whether it's being the victim or just being so jacked up about like, this is, I'm getting so fucked on this. You know, you want to kind of like lean into that and go, yeah, I'm allowed to feel this pissed. But at the end of the day, you know, cancer.
Yeah. So
good night, everybody.
your stepmom.
So she's yeah. So
what
she's,
kind of cancer? What
it was a stage four liver, and that's a fucking yeah. You know, that's game, set, match. So then it's just keep you happy, keep you comfy. And she was doing all right and would came to my shows up in Portland. And when I was up there with Dane, brought them up and we went out to Lake Chelan, which is Eastern Washington, to renew their vows. My dad was like, it's really important. I think, I don't know how much time we got left. It could be a year, it could be 5 years. She's feeling good. We'll do it now when we're feeling good. So I got a big R&B and got some shows up there to kind of balance it out and brought all their kids and my girl came with me and my nieces and my sister drove out and it was great and it was a good time and she was able to partake in some stuff and then was kind of sick so kind of chilled a little bit but got all these pictures and video from that and it was real special and important to both them and especially my dad. And that's what the focus has been, which is make it easier for him somehow and be a part and really kind of quickly didn't even think about, all right, I'm going to go up there for a month and change at least. And then however long after to kind of be there with them to distract them and keep them somewhat normal and happy and keep make sure that he knows that he still has a life
right
to live during and then after. Because
how old is he?
70, just turned 76. Okay. And so that's a real thing too, which I didn't totally understand is the heartbreak that can go down after your spouse or a close person dies where you're, you know, by yourself. And I know it was a thing with dogs because I saw it happen with my sheepdogs. But I don't know that people possessed the you know that that same trait.
Sheepdog.
Yeah. Man, when George lost Gracie, that was a wrap in 1998 for his stay on planet
Speaking
Earth.
Of 98. The Bulls were great that year too.
That when Smash Mouth dropped All Star? Yeah. So she got real bad real quick and then it was like, all right, I'm gonna get up there. My brother Logan came down and
so wait, they gave her from a year to five?
Actually, I think it was maybe even, God, was it 2 years maybe?
Two, max.
Or maybe 6 months. She outlived it, I know that. And actually was fine.
How old was she?
She was maybe 68 or so. Okay. No, 66? 68. I think 68, maybe 66. But in good health otherwise, smoked a lot though, man. I mean, it was, my first taste of cigarettes was when I would be in her van and she'd be driving my sister and I and her son somewhere. And
you ain't stealing this. I dare you to steal this one.
Dude, it was... The voice is spot on. Also, the space work is phenomenal. But, dude, it was my first taste of maybe secondhand smoke.
Yeah.
As a kid,
first taste of secondhand smoke?
Dude, I'd never been...
That's ridiculous. That was my first taste. Wait, was that my third? Taste of secondhand smoke?
Dude, I'm in this
my
van.
First taste of secondhand smoke is great.
Just trapped. And the windows are like all closed. She's hotboxing the car with fucking Joe Camel. And I'm just like in the back. And I remember the first time she yelled at me, I cracked the window and opened. And it was one of those windows that just did like, it just opened like just a little
yeah,
crack.
Yeah, that little.
So you're like, no, this is such a small amount of space. Yeah, dude, I was doing that. I cracked open a little thing and I was like. Like I'm smoking the oxygen that's free outside and she sees me in the rearview mirror and she goes, oh, you can't stand the smoke? And I was just like,
get out the kitchen. That doesn't even make sense.
What is it, Vladdy Divot's driving us? So I'm just trying to get some clean H2O or fucking whatever oxygen H2O. Is. Wait, what is the oxygen?
Just
O2. I'm trying to get some O2 and she was annoyed. She was just like, oh, sorry, I smoke. I just really... And that was my first taste of not only secondhand smoke, but also, oh, this is a weird dynamic. What is my role? And I'm in her car. We're staying at her house. It's also my dad's. But like, I quickly kind of also saw that it was weird for my dad too. I didn't really, because now we never talked about it. So it's just like, hey, yeah, good to see. You know, like he'd pick us up and bring back, and I'm gonna bring back to this is my new house, and you're just kind of like. And again, I'd just be like, cool, oh, that couch rules. And again, I kind of was also like, oh, I got two houses now. I got two. It's kind of fun, but just again, trying to make the best of it.
But you hated it or you didn't?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, at the end of the day, I saw how upset my mom was and how but anytime I would start to get a clean grasp and really feel like what was happening, I just would try to distract myself, move on, go play a sport, made friends in the neighborhood where they lived and go kick it with them. Or
what was your stepmom's name?
Renee. Yeah.
And you would see what it's doing to your mom. And
oh yeah. And
you'd be like, you know what, mom? Renee says have a cigarette.
Yeah. On her, actually.
Chill out a little.
Yeah. Take it easy. Yeah. I mean, how bad would that be? Come, you know, mom, I know you're stressed. What works for Renee, you know, my other mom?
Yeah.
Is
my other mom.
Yeah. I mean, think about that. That's a dagger. That's a truth dart to the heart. That's just fucking a mom.
That's just, that'll kill any mom right there. Like,
oh, yeah. Knowing that there's, I mean, and I remember they would just fight. My dad would drop us off and they would just, there'd be some fight about something, money, something. And also just contentious. My mom, I mean, I didn't know this until my dad told me, like, thought they were going to get back together. And then because I think she just was like, wait, let's try to make it work.
Wait, your mom?
My mom did.
Said she was going to try to
That's
work
what my dad it. Says. He's like, I think your mom thought we were going to get back together.
Oh, I see.
Divorce didn't happen right away when he left.
Happened,
yeah. Then. Yeah. The kidnapping? What'd you say? wait, what did you say? I was like, wait, is there a plot
what's,
twist in my own life that I'm not aware of?
Kid happened.
Oh, kid happened.
It was a rap on it. Once kidnapping happened. What?
Kidnapping. By the way, happened. Kidnapping happened is a fucking
it's my new
90s
album. The kidnapping happened.
Oh my God. That is some Kid and Play, Vanilla Ice. They have the same manager, maybe.
Let's take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor, Talkspace. Change is always a constant, but these days it feels like there's something new to grapple with every day. We may be adjusting to this new normal, but it's still stressful and it's important to talk about it and seek support. Talkspace Online Therapy is here to give you that support because we all need it right now. Match with a licensed therapist from the comfort of your device and reach out 24/7 whenever something's on your mind. You'll hear back daily, 5 days a week. All right, you know I'm big on therapy. You know I believe you should be out there talking to people, getting help, and you can do it here. And it's affordable. It's a fraction of the cost of in-person therapy. But with Talkspace, you can send unlimited messages to your therapist and they'll engage with you at least 5 days a week. That means you never have to wait to share what's on your mind. Talkspace is secure and private using the latest encryption technology to store client information. The bottom line is that we all need someone to talk to, and Talkspace wants to give the licensed support we deserve at a price we can afford. As a listener of this podcast, you can get $100 off your first month on Talkspace. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com or download the app and make sure you use the code HONEYDEW to get $100 off your first month and show your support for the show. That's HONEYDEW at Talkspace.com. Now let's get back to the dew.
So now she's given this short time frame, and again, your emotions just go through the roof, want dad to be okay. And also, again, not having someone this close to me be on death's door, again, so, like with Brody and other friends that had passed in this last year or so, which is the most probably I've had in a year. But
is she in
that
hospice or at home?
Yes.
Care?
So she got real sick, then she went to the hospital, and I'm now, I'd been in LA, then went to Arizona with my girl's family, and we're like, let's just, you know, things hadn't really taken off like they are now in AZ as far as people just being like, you know, you ain't stopping me from going to Quiznos. And so so now that's, you know, a place where we can chill. So then my dad's like, I don't know, man. I'm thinking that
there are people out there that have said that sentence.
All I remember is some soundbite of someone with a gun on the courthouse in Michigan being like, all I want is a haircut and a ding dong. And, you know, and not in that order. We'll be right back. And the news guy's like, you can't throw it a commercial. It's my program. And so we go up to Oregon because my dad's like, she's in the hospital. But now the pandemic has hit, and now it's like, what the fuck? We can't even know for certain if we're going to be able to go to the hospital. And you couldn't at one point. And then my dad's like, wow, it's just going to be like this then. And now I'm like, all right, I got to get up there and be with him. And my brother and I were there together for a while and then traded off weeks and trying to keep him motivated and distracted in the set. And then finally they were able to get her, and it was the consensus, get her on hospice. So now that's crazy. Hospice, which, by the way, texted a buddy of mine that on like day 3. I'm like, hey, can I hit you back? My stepmom's on hospice. 10 minutes later, he hits me up. He goes, dude, I feel like such an asshole. I thought you said your stepmom was on Hospice. I thought that was some new dating app. I'm like, well, she is meeting my dad.
Hospice.
Swear to God, Hospice. I'm like, and so now I'm laughing, and I didn't show my dad that, but he'll hear about it on this. So now she's home, and now we can at least control the environment, keep her comfy. And that's the whole goal, is make sure that she...
Yeah, I mean, what else is there?
And I kept telling my dad this, because as bad as it would get with, you know, you have good days where she's eating, she's responsive, we could get her up in the wheelchair, bring her out to the living room, and she could hang and see us and play with her dogs and be somewhat... it just didn't feel as bad as it was. And my dad was doing okay. And still having her just in the other room was great, you know, and he could work and go check on her. And so when he would get down, though, I'd have to remind him, like I feel like I've always done with the glass half full approach. I was like, Dad, she could be in the hospital and you couldn't be able to see her at all. Yeah. She's home. She's comfy.
And you can talk
and
to her.
And he's accepted what it is, but he couldn't go in there for too long. He'd sometimes just lay with her and just sob. And then he's like, I can't be in there. Couldn't even be in there for one night. He was like, I think I'm going to sleep on the couch. It makes me too sad to be in there. But then you go in there because you want to be with her and you don't know. And some days was real bad and a lot of pain and just real up and down. And then she'd be good. And then she had a week where she was, it's probably 3 weeks in the hospice, just eating more and feeling good and responsive and talking to people and sitting up and coming out. And then it just kind of took a turn, and she just wasn't wanting to eat. And, you know, my brother's now about to go into medical school, and my dad, you know, being a doctor, but even as a doctor, my dad not wanting to give in, he's still feeding her when she's like, I don't want anything. He's like, it's still off, you know, and the hospice nurse is like, at some point they know that if they don't eat or drink anything, then that's it. Sure. But she knows that. And just seeing the whole progression, you know, or the decline of her health and just going downwards is just a really crazy. I mean, just to like watch it for about I was there for about a little over a month. And so being with her and 2 months before that, where she was, you know, fine and good and coming to my shows. And so to see her just in her bed and losing all the hair, and then just to get real thin. And then I go in there and talk to her for a while, and she'd be real responsive one day and ask questions, and I'm just trying to make jokes and this and that, and then anything you need and all that. And then you also, sometimes she just wants to sleep or be alone, but then I feel bad because we're in the other room watching, you know, Shanghai Nights or whatever's on TNT. And I don't know. And that's a good movie.
That's a great pull.
That is a great movie. And so we're in the other room trying to live a life, but there's one in there that's ending. So yeah. You're feeling guilty so you kind of go in and check, but then you got to keep dad busy and happy. And
we're bitching about you. Papa John's got the butter sauce. Yeah. You know, you got to watch on your
dude. 1,000%. Make sure that you pick your complaints while there's hospice 2 doors down. Make sure you don't go, God, there is nothing on Netflix.
Who the fuck put the batteries in the controller wrong? God damn it.
Dad, are you sure the Wi-Fi password is your name? So that
it's hard to forget dumb shit like that sometimes. Yeah. You really have to remember.
Perspective becomes a big component of what you really latch onto during a hospice. I can't believe I was about to say showdown. A hospice situation. Sometimes your brain knows the word but picks a different one, and you're like, yeah, that doesn't not make sense, but it in the context of what you're saying, in the hospice situation, you know, you don't have a lot of control, because she's just like, you're kind of going off of how she's wanting to feel and how she does feel. She's in a lot of pain. Then there's always a point where the morphine's going to have to come out and to kind of subdue her and take everything away. And then
would a person come by, or did they stay?
No. Hospice. So my brother would stay there, and then I got a hotel, and then we kind of swap out. And
how do they do that during the virus? The person came in a mask and shield.
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah. And then my brother would, you know, take care of bathing her and cleaning and just all that stuff. Yeah. He's a fucking saint and just crushed it. And, And it was weird because my other brother, not so much, because they, you know, it was just so it's a weird.
That's right. They had two kids.
Yeah. And they, you know, it was, again, my pops and had to, you know, bounce around working in different hospitals for 10, 12 years. And stepmom and brothers were back in Eastern Washington. And there was some disconnect there for sure. And then when my brother Logan went to college, my younger brother Mark got a little neglected. And so that relationship gets weakened a little. And I think, you know, so there was just emotions at every stage and at every level. But at the core of it, like, everyone just wants, you feel for the person who's losing their wife at the end of
it. I say it all the time. Like, you do, you know, we selfishly will lose this one person, but that one person is losing everyone. Every single person, yeah, they're losing. Wow. You know, yeah. Here are my kids. Here's my husband. Here's everybody. I'm losing my dog. You're losing it all. And we feel awful. We're like, oh, I lost my dad or my mom or my whatever. But your dad or mom, they lost everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And it was, again, what was crazy is trying to sum up, like we talked about at the beginning, this is a woman who my dad left my mom for. So that's, but you push that aside. It's not like I'm not hovering over her bed at any point being like, you made me feel so bad about hiding chips under your couch. I was a fat kid. And you know what? Karma's a bit, like, there was no part of me that was, you know, still holding on to what she, you know, but there's a little bit of you trying to process like your emotions towards, because I was very sad, but I got choked up a few times, you know, pretty substantially. But again, you're like, all of my concern is for my dad, and emotions I think are living there. And again, I don't want her to be going through this. You're seeing it on her eyes. It's, if you're a human with any beating heart and peace of a soul, you get very, it's a very raw thing to watch and to take in. And you can't not feel like you so helpless, because you're like, fuck, I wish I could make you not feel like this. And I wish you could come out and laugh with us and hang. But again, like, I can't stop any thoughts of like, it's, you know, well, I know why I'm not like on the ground sobbing, because, you know, and so I can't, ignore that like, oh, this, like, and not, and look, there's two sides to it. My dad chose, like, they decided together to start this life, and my dad also left. It's not like she pulled my dad away.
Yeah.
But still, right? Like, trying to decide how you feel about it. And then I think what I learned is, you know, you just got to kind of feel how you feel. Like, don't try to get in the way of, all right, like, just be a fucking rock. It's like, no, if you need to fucking, if it hit me for some reason, like with my sister, obviously stone cold.
And your pancakes suck too. Never liked your breakfast.
Always cooked me that lumpia. I wanted fucking McGriddles.
McGriddles.
You saw me gasping for air back there. So, you know, that's why. And I gave you that post that you can either, you know, share or not. But that was my attempt that I put on Facebook in trying to. Again, it was such a. And I've been trying to do this in more facets of my comedy and just my voice in general. Be a little bit more introspective with things like this, and a little more connected to experiences like this, and sharing your feelings and point of view as you're going through it. So I posted this thing on Facebook because I was like, well, this is where I'll be able to just not censor myself and kind of, and I really didn't. I went back because I had a couple little typo things, but that's what was crazy too. I got so moved by, you know, her passing. And I was in there with my dad for her final breaths. We'd gone back and forth. He was like, she's having a bad night. I was at the hotel. I had to get up early to do some voiceover stuff. And I was like, you know what? I'll just stay over the night. And I'll push it back a little, and then I'll go there later. But I don't want you to be by yourself with her tonight if something happens over the night. So I stayed, and she woke up, and I walked out, and dad's sitting on the couch, and he goes, well, Renee's still with us. And I was like, awesome. You know, fucking, he's just kind of said it a little, you know, somewhat somber, but just kind of like, know, today's not, you know, it's Monday. It's not going to be that bad of a, you know, hey, we'll see. Here we go. Start of the week. And then went in there and then he said, oh man, she's doing those deep, heavy breaths. And so going in there and checking and just kind of talking to her, not responsive, obviously. And, you know, a little bit kind of, you know, and then my dad went back in and then I went back in and then we're just there. And then I walked out and then he walked out right after and was just crying and was like,
oh.
And then he sits down and he immediately starts to try to call people. I'm like, dad, just chill. Like, live in this moment for a second and you don't have to do anything. But I understand you're just like, I got to start telling people.
Yes.
I also need to stop. And then he's just losing it. And then we sit down on the couch. I'm like, oh, let's come sit down. And, you know, and I'm trying to keep my distance from him too. He's 76. We're not touching each other this whole time. Was masking it for a good chunk of it and then just stopped because I hadn't gone anywhere. But I'm trying to keep my distance still and sitting on the couch and just kind of, you know, holding his hand. And I'm like, let's turn on the TV. We turn on the TV and Trump was on or whatever. And you know, like, you know, you know, maybe put sunlight in your pee hole, you know. And my dad was like, I can't watch this
sunlight
right now.
In your pee hole.
Whatever it was.
Wait, he suggest-
no.
What if that's the thing? What if that's the thing? Everybody hold your pee holes over the put some sunlight up in your pee hole. Listen, as crazy as everything's been, why not? That might be the fucking thing.
You're not a doctor. How do you know that's not
somebody,
how it
don't
fixes
burn
it.
Yourself, but if anybody tries it out there, please let us know if it works.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Sunlight in your pee hole. People were sunning their assholes.
Yeah.
Why not, bro?
Dude, why not? Man, look, this God. America is based on trying to see what goes where. And I think that there's something about sitting down and TV was like a great distraction. Mm-hmm. I changed the channel. It's Jerry Springer. And my dad's like, this is fine. And he's just crying and I'm just sitting there and silent and kind of turning up a little bit. And then we look down and one of his dogs is just pumping away at this stuffed animal. Like it's a Me Too moment for sure. Like this dog is just going to their little poodle on this little stuffed gnome. And even then it was like, I was telling my buddy, I go like this toy. It was, I've seen dogs hump toys before, but the little like gnome thing, even like kind of like was getting humped so that his body was moving towards me. Like almost like, you're not going to say anything.
Like, come on, man.
Yeah. And so, and so I'm looking down and it reminded me of this time where 3 months prior when I was visiting them, that same poodle doing on the gnome. And my stepmom was like this real, she's a real kooky character and real fun, real quick too. And that was the one thing that once I got older and started to let more of my guard down, that was up, even though it was always cordial and nice, but started to really kind of just get to know her, accept it more. And saw how funny and quick and sweet she was and just, you know, the good times between my dad and she. And she did this thing that I think a lot of non-comics will do, and especially relatives, where they'll say shit out of character because they're like, oh, you're a comic. You can spin any sort of bullshit I might throw your way and make it into some sort of, you know, hilarious moment that we can all enjoy. And I feel safe that I can just say things, but also she was getting sick and I don't think things were lining up right. So she'd just say like, my pussy hurts sometimes. And you're just like, fucking cool. Yeah, I just asked what time it was, but you know, and you know,
so. Listen, I'll be out back getting some sunshine in my dick hole. Okay.
No, but she would just say like funny. It wasn't like Tourette's. It was just like, she just would. And it was fun. It was fun, funny. And so, seeing this, I see the dog going to town. It reminds me of a time where that's happening 3 months prior. My stepmom, we all look down where I was kind of like, oh man, you know? And then my stepmom looks up at me and goes, well, at least someone's going to come tonight. Swear to God. Swear to God. At least somebody's going to come tonight, which is basically just being like, you know, that, like, hey, like shots fired, like, you know? And so she says, at least somebody's going to come tonight, which I say, oh, what? And then we're looking down at the poodle, still just going to town. And so I think of that as I'm watching this, and here my dad and I are again watching Jerry Springer, and it's a real intense. By the way, my dad laughed at that too because he thought she was the sense of humor, the sensibilities were on point, which was great, which I always which I know he was felt guilty when we'd be out there having a good time laughing because they did that a lot. So I think he was just, it was tough for him. He'd laugh really hard. This was the saddest thing that I saw from my dad, was laughing really hard and having an honest, and he's got a great, like you, a great laugh, infectious, makes you feel good. Whole face lights up. Just you want to make the person laugh, right? Now it's just like a goal of mine when I call him to get that just really deep guttural belly laugh. And he would have those, and immediately followed by just like laughing really hard, and then just like, just how come she doesn't get to do this with
right.
us? And I like, it's, or I feel guilty having this much fun, or just all that is packaged into that immediately after. And that's so sad and crazy to see such a contrast of it's an emotional roller coaster of just, and so he was just, and that's what you're constantly battling while she's over there.
My grandmother is Italian. Both of them were, but my dad's mom was an artist at doing, my friends still do it. We still make fun of her, tease her a little bit, because, you know, it was always my dad died. I never looked at it as a parent right. until I had a daughter. And then I wanted to call my grandmother and hug her. She had long died, but I was like, oh my God, I'd be devastated if my daughter died at 42 years old, you know, and I had to live through that. So, but my grandmother would cry first and then come out. She'd do the opposite. She'd be like, oh, my son's never going to come over again. Have y'all had some cheese?
I mean, she would fucking drop it like that. I'd be like, Grandma, is that cry even real? Like, don't you tell me I'm not crying for real. Oh my God, all the time.
Would you like a sandwich?
All the time.
They're saying that we might have to stay indoors for another 2 months.
Did you know when I put the sporks?
That's exactly what it was.
Second
but
and
it was
third
always
drawer.
To take care of you. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, do you
need something?
Oh, because as soon as she feels too much, she's like, whoa, I'm being greedy with these moments. What do you need right now? That's a classic mom, grandma thing.
She was legit.
Yeah, man. So we're sitting on the couch watching Jerry Springer. Turn up the volume.
Jerry Springer.
This is why this matters. It's just the what was so crazy is finding what do you do in that moment after she passes. There's no rule book for that. It's just, you're truly, what do you, go on a walk? Do you go sit in there in the room with her? He couldn't go in there. Mm-hmm. Even when they were taking her body out, he had to go in another room and lock the door. He's like, I can't watch them take her out. He dreaded that. That was a very sad thing that he said. He said a lot of sad things. I had to cap him at one point. I go, because they have two little poodles. One of them is blind and deaf. Mindy, she'd be just bouncing into fucking walls like a pinball machine. She couldn't tell if that was a toe or a wheat thin. She's just like fucking... She fucking was not, it was cruel to keep her around. And so at one point she had this giant growth, fucking something Dr. Pimple Popper could not even fix. And she's just clawing and chewing at it and walking around with this fucking, just fucking a couple of nut sacks spooning each other. And she's just like, is everything cool? Hey, do you guys see where that toe was? We're like, that was a cracker. You are fucked up. And so my dad's like, we just got to put her down. So we did 2 days before my stepmom passed. So stepmom passes, the other dog's walking around, you know, very melancholy, knowing that something's wrong, is in the room, sitting on the bed, laying where my stepmom would lay, because she would stay by her side, the dog that was still with us. My dad at one point, when Sophie, the dog that's still with us, comes up, sits with my dad, and he's petting her, and he goes, oh, Sophie goes, yeah. He's like, you've had a rough week. You've lost two moms in the last 2 days. I go, Dad, I got to stop you. This is fucking... Like, this is, hey,
yeah.
Feel all the feelings, but that's six depressing statements in 24 hours. And I'm here to.
I'm going to be out back with Mindy getting some son of a dick hole.
No, Mindy, right? We had to put Mindy down. Sophie.
That's right, two days ago.
Who gives a shit? I'm correcting you on that. Fucking Sophie's the one that's still alive.
I'm taking Sophie. We're getting outside, getting some son up my dick hole.
We're watching Jerry Springer, and we turn it up, and it's a classic. You know, Dante, you have something you want to say to Chantrell? He's like, yeah. He's like, I've been fucking your friends. And everyone's like, oh, Jerry. And then Jerry's like, that's a lot of information. Chantrell, anything you want to say to Dante? She's like, yeah. What did she say? She goes, I got a surprise too. And it was just one of those classic, I'm not what you think I am. She's like, I'm a man. Everyone goes crazy. They zoom in on this guy, Dante, I think it was his face. And Jerry's like, Dante, that is a lot of information. She's not, Chantrell is a guy? And he's like, I'm good with that. I start laughing. My dad starts laughing. As he's crying, I'm like, all right, maybe turn it up a little bit. I think this is just what the doctor ordered. A little bit of Jay Spring to kind of take us back to reality and kind of escape the darkness for a minute. And he's kind of laughing. And then I think it's one of those things where just the comic brain comes in where, we'd been seeing the poodle hump the gnome. When Renee said, at least someone's going to come tonight. So we're sitting there. The guy's like, I'm good with that, to this girl that is a dude. And I look at my dad. I go, at least somebody's going to come tonight. And he chuckles a little bit and fucking cries a little bit more. And then I was like, and he's such an asshole too. I was kind of like waiting for a little bit more. That's pretty good. I think we're out of the darkness. Huh? That was fucking, that's the joke that's going to turn things around.
The whole ship's right.
Yeah. And it was, but we watched a couple more episodes of Jerry Springer and then just sat in silence for a little bit. And then they come and take her body out. And then it was just weird. And that's just weird.
Were you there for that?
Yeah, I stayed for another maybe 10 days, and my brother came down.
Literally, did you stay in the house? Or?
Oh, yeah. I watched him take her out. And, I mean, I walked in, too, after my dad couldn't go back in, but I walked in and just kind of said some things to her. And they'd done a whole church prayer with her over a Zoom thing at one point. Mm-hmm. And actually, my brother Logan tells me a story that my stepmom's, cousin, at one point on the sermon Zoom thing with a bunch of people, and she's still cognizant at this point and still, I mean, sick, but still able to respond more than she could in weeks before she passed. And my cousin's just distraught and emotional, her cousin. And my brother says, she just goes, God, just Lord, please, Renee's just sick and we're going to miss her so much, but don't let her suffer anymore. Just take her, God. Just take her now. Just take her, God. And my brother goes, my stepmom literally just goes, the fuck is she talking about right now? I'm still very
much. I can hear you, bitch.
She's like, just take her, God. Just take her. She's like, I've got a vitamin water right there. I am fucking not going anywhere. Isn't that a fucking, I know.
Take her now.
Yeah, dude. I'm so glad I remember that detail because my brother told me that. I was like, you can't write that shit.
He said too,
because he laughed and he was mentioning how these are one of the moments that he was wanting to remember. And because it was so, at that stage, you have your memories pre everything that you're going through, pre hospice. But obviously, during that time, there's going to be other things you think about. So you want to try to find some of those positive gems to hold on to. And that was one that was so funny. They told me,
tell that bitch not to pray out loud anymore.
Can you pray in your head?
That's what it
please.
Is. All of a sudden, you say it. You got to say it out loud because you're on Zoom.
Oh shit!
That shit you share with the neighbor.
Yes,
not with the person.
No,
who's losing their
or fucking type it in the chat to the pastor.
Yeah. Sorry, misspelled that.
Can you tell God to take her now? I feel like this is something I should not say out loud in front of everybody, especially her. Send
God.
So that moment after was just crazy, man. And then I'm there for 10 days after just to get my dad back into a routine and get some rhythm back. To his life, because you're just like, and you
I mean,
can't.
That was, how long were they together? What was it? 20 years?
28 years? That's from 91 time. To yeah. whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Time. And so, he's done the thing where go through photos and pics. And a lot of people reached out, and his birthday was about a week after. And I made him some really fun birthday video with some friends and of his and friends of mine and some cool people that I've got to become buds with that he's, you know, really keen on. Angela Johnson was like one of their favorite comics, and she sent a really heartfelt message, which was incredible. It was all to wishing him a happy birthday. And I told people what was happening just to be like, you know, not saying they needed to mention it. And Angela did, because we watched her special that day too, and they had gone to see her together. And she had a really, like, I know she's a sweet girl, but this was like a very touching thing. And my dad was just sobbing about Renee and just all these nice things and just about what she'd
put
heard
Dante
about her.
Bang on.
Dude, he said he's watched the birthday video like 30 times.
That's nice.
Because he fucking makes him feel
that
good.
That's nice.
And so.
Did Dante call in? You should
I'm
find
good
that,
with that
guy. You should find that real guy.
No shit.
A happy birthday for your dad.
No shit. Because. First got to make them smile, post pass.
I'm saying, man, that's powerful.
That is powerful. That's so funny. But so, you know, now he's flipping through albums. You're going through this up and down situation of like, I want to move on and be happy, but then I don't want to move on too quick. And so you just let him go at his own speed and be there, distract. I felt like I was, my brother as well, like crushing it as far as like, I mean, as soon as I would feel my dad start to sulk and go down and say another like, you know, boy, good thing we didn't have birds because I probably would have fucking killed it. It's like, dude, again, let's stay on the positive train.
Yeah.
So I was, anytime he would sulk, I would just jump in with conversation about sports has bonded us big time. We're just, you know, and, or something funny that happened to me or something that I was
remember
working on.
Remember the Sonics? They're gone too.
Oh. Oh my God. That was a big thing that, that held us together too. That's fucked, dude. I know. And then sports getting yanked away.
It's all gone.
It's also a bad time to lose anyone because everything's getting peeled. Everything's getting taken away. And then, so now you're like, fuck, I can't leave, you know? And so we got him back into a good situation. Talked to him today. Just had a cataract surgery. So now he's seeing a lot better, which helps. But, you know, it took him and my nieces and brothers down to the Oregon coast with him. I thought we were going to do an ashes shake drop. What do you do with it? What do you pour it?
Sprinkle? Sure.
Well, you're not taking it out. Yeah. It's not like a pepper shaker.
Dump. You dump them.
Spread. Dump
probably
is not
spread's probably
the sweetest
a better word.
Of
but you are. You're dumping
you're
them.
You're dumping
out.
Them.
Yeah.
Because you're.
Yeah, I think it's a spread.
What movie was it? Was it Magoo?
Spread them out.
Was it MacGuber? Were they
Big Lebowski? Is the one where it blows in his face?
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. Is that what you're thinking?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also, Due Date had a really funny one where he put it in a coffee can, and Zach Galifianakis, I think, drank it. So
what did you end up? Did you do that? Did you go spread her ash?
I haven't done that yet. That's TBD, but you know, I think he wants to do it at a place in Lake Chelan, Eastern Washington. Got some gigs up there in the fall. We'll see if that holds up. But yeah, man, I hit you up because I was like, this is a very heavy and
I'm sorry, man. I know that's heavy.
Where was your sorry 2 months ago, dude? What if I really meant that?
I would love it. I would love it.
And that's how it
and
ends.
And I would hold this Are episode you? Even longer. We recorded in July, but it's just going to drop for the fall moon, okay? The autumn moon episode with Adam Ray.
That Facebook post I did, do you even want to pull that up or is that not necessary? What do you think?
Why don't you post it?
I did.
I mean, post it when I post the episode, add it to these posts.
Repost it?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's worthy of a repost.
Is it?
Isn't it about how you really feel about someone passing?
Yeah. Oh, wait, post it with?
Yeah, with all the stuff I'll post for your episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Include it.
Yeah, I guess.
Let people read it.
Isn't there, though, a little bit of people being like, dude, what are you trying to milk some more likes right now? Like, what's going on? Like, what are you reposting?
No, my fans are great. They don't, they're... But I do hope they say that now since you brought it up. And if they do, it's only because you brought it up. You put that idea in their head.
Yeah, I don't know. So what? Yeah. Trying to put what you're feeling through that whole time into words is what I was trying to do with this post. Because, again, it's like mom that, you know, a woman I care about. I don't want to see suffer go through this. Dad love.
Your brother's mom.
Yes. Trying to gauge everyone's emotions and take everything into consideration and just be a rock for everybody. Not suppress my own emotions, but also not. I was also like, it's not. I'm not here. I don't know, dude. I still. And then talking to even my mom about stuff. That she'd check in and ask how he was doing and how she's doing. And very concerned.
I wanted to ask.
Oh, yeah, they've been around each other. I asked my mom one time.
Have your mom and dad, I know they reconnected, but have they talked since?
If anyone that should have said, passed? Take her now, God, it should have been the cousin. It should have been my mom. If you were going to really break it down, if she was on the Zoom prayer.
Your mom's like, I co-sign that. Like, who the hell's that lady?
She's ready. Yeah. No, my mom was so sweet and
but have your mom and dad talked since your stepmom passed away?
No, but I think texted or
they've communicated.
Maybe, no, actually, my mom was my dad couldn't be on the prayer, but I think my mom and stepdad were actually on the Zoom prayer thing because my brother reached out, and he told me last time I talked to him for me to thank her because he didn't know that and he thought that was incredibly sweet and it was. So yeah, dude. Death, being that close to it is, and being in the room with someone as they,
I mean,
leave is,
at least you went.
I was numb for a few days.
Silently,
totally,
and also it speaks volumes to be a. That's right, to be a good enough person that the way you got to go out was with loved ones around you in your own home.
Yes.
I mean, what else could you ask for when you're gone?
1,000%. I had to again continue to remind my dad of like the alternative here is so depressing. What a bummer if you're having to look at her on an iPad while she's taking her last breaths
and she's scared
and you
alone.
Miss Dante. Yeah. You know, say fucking.
You're missing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, brother, I love you.
I love you too, man.
Thank you for coming here and opening up and sharing all that.
Yeah.
Laughing about it. I appreciate you letting me take shots at it,
man,
and, stuff, and laughing along.
It's you kind of, and that's the thing too, that going through something like this and having a courtside seat to a hospice, that doesn't sound good. Being this close fuck, dude, I got to pick my words better. I see what I want to say and I just don't say it.
I got a skybox right outside the funeral home, okay? Like, what?
Are these scalper hospice tickets?
Floor seats to the hospice show.
No, so, you know, seeing, going through that, it gives you so much perspective and, because again, how, you know, comedians, friends from high school, these things shake you up in their own way.
Yeah.
And Brody was devastating on a myriad of levels and personal connections and then just also, you know, the tragicness of a death like Brody. And then with something like this, the tragicness of, man, 68, like not,
yeah,
got plenty of juice left in the tank. And healthy otherwise, and just not, you just want, at this age too, I have more and more awareness of like wanting your parents to like ride off into the sunset, truly, as lame as that or overused as that saying may be, like you definitely want that. And that's why trying to ease my dad back into a routine that he goes, fucking being around is still pretty cool, you know, and getting bummed is going to happen. But I've got a lot of things to be grateful for, and I'm still ticking and helping out these veterans that I'm, being a doctor for, and still got family that's doing everything. And I had to tell my dad, too. I was like, look, we're fucking not doing all this because, you know, we're getting paid to. Like, you know, we want you to, you know, stick around and not fall into a depression to where you're like, you know, I got to fucking, you know.
Get out there and get some sunshine up your cold. You know, ain't nothing gonna make you feel better than a good hump a
gnome.
D up
take a
D.
cue from Sophie. Dry hump a gnome. Get some sun in your pee hole and fucking put on some Jerry Springer.
That's it.
Yeah.
Dude. One more time, please promote whatever you'd like.
Yeah, baby. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. AdamRayComedy.com has got tour dates and just all my video content and About Last Night podcast is the podcast on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, and Crossing Swords on Hulu right now. The Bellman is a movie I'm in with Thomas Lennon that's out on Amazon. So go check that out.
All right, brother.
I love
congrats.
You.
Congrats. I love you too.
Thanks,
man.
Bro.
RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Talk to y'all next week.
You love podcasts. The stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.